It's verse number 13 that we're taking as the text tonight, and it follows on from the theme of the previous evenings. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. What a text that is. What a text. I don't believe that the Apostle Paul believed in the word can't. I don't believe that he allowed that word to be used. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And in many ways, Paul's life was a silent sermon upon the truth that he affirms in this verse. He wrote in the present tense, but he could well have written it in the past tense. He could have said, I have done all things through Christ. He's coming to the end of his life, the end of his earthly ministry. And he could have said, looking back, he says, I have done all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Or he could have said, I had done all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. His life was a silent sermon testifying to this truth from the time of his conversion to the time when he's writing to the Philippians. His accomplishments in life came by the strengthening ministry of the Lord Jesus in his heart and in his life. There's really no other way to account for his remarkable life. It was by the supply of divine help. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 21. And what you have here is the autobiography of the apostle. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 21. He says, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes, that is, whippings, above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils by mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness. In watchings often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often. In cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? And I am not weak. What a remarkable record of trials and troubles, of adversities that would overwhelm the greatest, the strongest of men. And yet Paul continued through it all. He continued in triumph right to the very end. And he's able to say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He drew from the well of the unfailing supply of Christ's grace and power. Paul's life is an example of the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus in the believer's life. If we read this text in Philippians literally, it reads like this: I am strong for all things in Christ who empowers me, who strengthens me. I am strong for all things in Christ who empowers me, He's saying that the Lord Jesus is all that a Christian needs. No matter what the will of God involves for our individual lives, no matter what the difficulties, no matter what the dangers, no matter what the discouragements, no matter what is involved, Christ is our sufficiency. I am strong for all things in Christ who empowers me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What a statement. It's a statement that we need to look at very closely. And if you look at it closely, you'll discover three parts to it. There's first of all an admission. There's an admission. He's admitting something. Paul is admitting that the path of God's will is beyond our natural ability to perform. He's not resting upon self-ability, nor is he displaying self-confidence. It's the very opposite. This text slays self-confidence. This text takes the sword of Goliath, as it were, and puts it right in to self-confidence, the heart of self-confidence. There's no self-confidence here. This is a clear admission that whatever God required of him, whatever God appointed for him to do, he could not do it by himself. And that's the fundamental characteristic of God's will. God's will is always beyond our natural ability to accomplish. God's will not be done without God's help. You remember Elijah? When he went out into the wilderness and he lay down and slept, and he was tired and wearied with the journey, and the Lord said to him, "The journey is too great for thee." And that was the first thing Elijah had to learn. The journey is too great for me. I cannot undertake this journey in my own strength, in my own ability, with my own capability or natural resources. It is beyond me. It's beyond me. There's a very interesting verse in John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 5. It's a text I believe we should learn off by heart. The Lord Jesus says to his disciples, "Without me, ye can do nothing." Without me, ye can do nothing. Sorry, John 15 it is, and verse 5. I give you the wrong reference. The Lord says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." There it is. There's the admission. Without him, you can't do it. Can't be done in your own strength, in your own, with your own resources, with your own capability. Can't be done. Without me, ye can do nothing. How true that is of the spiritual life. And you think of the spiritual life that calls us to that pathway of holiness. And the pathway of holiness is separation from an ungodly world. From the practice and the lifestyle and the conduct and the behavior of an ungodly world. It is the pathway that calls us to walk in faith, not sight. To walk in the way of truth and righteousness. Separated unto God. That's a life that is beyond us. You know, it's one of the excuses that many a person will give for not getting saved. They'll say, but I couldn't live that life. The simple answer is, you're dead right. You can't. Not by your own strength, not by your own ability, not by your own resources. The life that the Lord is calling us to live, the path that he's calling us to walk, it is beyond us. Can't be lived by our own strength. It requires Christ in us. Without me, ye can do nothing. Without me, ye can't. Without me, ye can't. You can't live a holy life. You can't overcome sin. The indwelling corruption that's still within us, even after we're saved, after we're born again, the old man is still in there. The indwelling corruption. And the devil comes with his temptation, and he's got something in us that he can allure. That old nature that's prone to go astray from God. We can't overcome that nature by ourselves. We can't overcome the devil by ourselves and the temptation of the devil and the temptations of the world. We can't do it by ourselves. The Lord says, without me, you can do nothing. It's like Goliath towering over the Israel of God, left to themselves. They could only run and hide behind the rocks, helpless, fearful, and despairing. This constant battle with sin and the flesh and the world, it can only be lived and endured by the strength of the Lord Jesus. By his power. There's an admission here. In the same way that we look to Christ for justifying grace, so we look to him by faith for sanctifying grace. You see, that's an area that sometimes Christians get all muddled up. They say, yes, I'm saved by grace. I'm looking to Christ and his death upon the cross, his blood shed to blot out the guilt of my sin. They're looking to him by faith for justification. But then, what they do when it comes to a sanctified life, they look to themselves, to their own efforts, their own ability and their own strength, their own resolve and resolution. And they fail. Because they've missed the fundamental point. This life cannot be lived without him. Can't be done. Can't do it in our own strength. It requires absolute dependence upon the Lord, upon his strength and his grace. That's what's true of the Christian life is true of Christian work and Christian service. The number one lesson in the work of God, whatever aspect it is, we cannot do what the Lord has called us to do without him. We can't do it by ourselves. It's beyond us. Sometimes a person, a Christian, is approached about doing some particular task in the life of the church, and they throw up an excuse, just like Moses. Remember, the Lord said to Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses threw up excuses. Lord, I'm not eloquent. Lord, they'll not listen to me. The Lord had to show Moses, I'm not asking you because of your ability. All I'm seeking is your availability. I will give you the ability that you need. And the Lord might come to a Christian and say, through the oversight of the church, would you help out in outreach work? And you say, I couldn't do that. Well, the Lord's not asking you to do it because he thinks you can do it. He's asking you to do it so that you will discover that without him, you can do nothing. Maybe it's a Sunday school class or some particular task in the church. Always remember that the pathway of service cannot be done by our own strength or through our own resources. There's an admission here when Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. He is saying, I can't do anything in my own strength. There's an admission. But the admission is followed by an assurance. And that's the second point. Whatever the Lord requires of us, He will give the necessary grace in order to fulfill what He wants us to do. Now, some people learn the first point, that God's will is beyond them and above them. But the admission does not necessarily lead to the assurance. And they sink down into pessimism, into despair, and into defeat. There's a lot of defeated Christians. And the reason why is because they've learnt the first point. Yes, they admit, I can't do this by myself. Can't do the Lord's will by myself. But they fail to grasp the assurance. When you look at this text, it throbs with confidence. Paul's not in defeat. Paul's not in the depths of pessimism or despair. Oh, he gladly acknowledges, I can't do what God has called me to do, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. There's an assurance. If the Lord sets out a path for His children, which our strength is not able to fulfill, then we can rest with this assurance that He will give the strength that we need in order to fulfill His will. Now you think of the context here. Paul says in Philippians 4, he talks about abounding and being abased. He talks about poverty and prosperity. He says, whatever state I'm in, whatever my circumstances, the Lord will give the strength that I need. I am made strong by the Lord. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Again, Paul is writing 1 Timothy chapter 1. And he says in verse 12, and notice the way that he writes this. Verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. You see that? Who hath enabled me. In other words, let me put it like this. He has made me able. He has made me able. Remember when the 12 spies came back from Canaan with the report? Oh, they talked about the luscious clusters of grapes and all the good things that they saw, but then they mentioned the tarred cities, the walls, the strength of the fortifications, the people, the giants who were there. And you remember there were 10 who said, we are not able. We're not able. But Caleb and Joshua said, we are able. We're able through the Lord. The Lord will enable us. And if the Lord had have shown Paul what the pathway of his life was going to consist of when he was in Damascus just after being converted, if the Lord had shown him every detail, I'm sure it would have struck his heart with terror. But here he is at the end, and he looks back and he says, the Lord enabled me. The Lord made me able. The Lord made me strong for everything that I had to face. That word there, enable, means to invigorate. It means to summon up vigor. He will make us able. There are no exceptions. I can do all things, whatsoever the Lord has appointed, because He enables me. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. Here's an illustration, this time in the person of Sarah. Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 11, it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. You remember we looked at Abraham. He was made strong in faith. He was made strong. He staggered not. Well, Sarah is no exception either. She also was made strong. She received strength to believe the promise of God, when naturally speaking, both her and Abraham were beyond that stage for childbearing. But she received strength. You see that? She received strength. Is the Lord setting a path before you, and you feel you're not able? Well, here's the assurance. He will enable, he will invigorate, he will summon up that strength. The apostle is teaching us to look at God's will from the perspective of Christ's sufficiency toward his people. There's an assurance here. He will enable me. But there's also an affirmation. Because we've got to ask the question, where did Paul's confidence come from? What was it based on? This confidence. It's not self-confidence. But how could he be so confident that he could do all things appointed by the Lord for him? How could he be so confident? Well, he had the affirmation of God's word. God affirms the promise of strength. We looked at it the last time in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he talks about the thorn in the flesh. And you know how he's asked the Lord to take it away. Three times he besought the Lord, and the Lord did not answer as he had requested. But he answered another way, verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. There's an affirmation. There's the promise of God. God is affirming this promise that he will pour in his strength to those who are weak in themselves. Turn back to Deuteronomy 33. We'll just do a little word study. Just a few texts of scripture. But always remember that the Bible is like a great tapestry. And if you ever see some of those great tapestries, you'll find you can look at it very closely, and you'll find that there's a thread that runs through the tapestry. And it's a very interesting task to try and trace the thread. Well, that's just like the Bible. The Bible is a great tapestry, and there are threads that run all the way through the Bible. And here's one of them. It has to do with the promise of God's strength. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. And the verse number 25. It is. The reference here is to the blessings upon each of the tribes of Israel. And in verse 25, it is the tribe of Asher that is in view. Verse 24, and of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy dead, so shall thy strength be. That's a wonderful promise. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Notice it's given in a general way. In other words, it simply means whatever kind of day you have, whatever kind of day you've got to face, there will be strength proportionate. There will be strength according to that day. So if it's a day of sickness, if your day involves sickness, there will be strength given accordingly to help you through that. Doesn't single out one particular aspect. You know, if we just take in the realm of sickness, it doesn't say here, if your sickness is cancer, then the Lord will give you strength to bear that. Because if it did, if that's what was said, then what about if it was some other kind of illness? You think, well, maybe the Lord's promise of strength is only for one kind of illness. You see why it's given in that general sense? As thy day, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. The strength is given proportionate to the kind of day that we are experiencing. What a promise that is. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. You ever read Pilgrim's Progress? Pilgrim's companion, always worried about dying. Always worried about dying. There was a lady came to Mr. Moody, and she was always worried about dying. And Mr. Moody said to her, "Dear, you don't need dying grace today. When you come to die, the Lord will give you the grace that you need to die. What you need today is living grace, grace to live for today." If you read Pilgrim's Progress, I think it was Faithful, and he was always worried about dying and what it would be and how he would get through the experience of death. And John Bunyan, in his wonderful way, describes that moment when he comes to the river of death. And what did he find? The tide was out. And he was able to just walk over in shallow water. And that which he had feared for a long time never came to pass. Why? As thy days, so shall thy strength be. The Lord will give you the strength that you need. Some people live always in this fear. Oh, what if I get this? If I get cancer or I get this? And they're always living life that way. Look, those things might happen. We're not exempt from the common afflictions of life. But when they do happen, if they happen, there will be strength accordingly. The Lord will give strength. He'll give the strength that you need. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse number 10. What a great text this is. This is the thread running through. Do you see the affirmation of God's promise? My strength is made perfect in weakness. That's what the Lord has said. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Now look at Isaiah 41 and verse 10. The Lord says, "Fear thou not." Don't be afraid. Don't live in fear. This is a command. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." Oh, you can't have any better promise than that. If the Lord is with me, I've nothing to fear. "Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." There's the covenant of grace. That's the gospel. I am thy God. God pledges to be our God, and he takes us as his people. And then he says, you see, the covenant of grace comes first. The gospel salvation comes first. We're brought into union with God through Christ. And then he says this, "I will strengthen thee." and that's for every day thereafter. That's for the pathway right to the end of life. I will strengthen thee. You see, it's in the future. Takes in every day after, from the day that we're brought into union, saving union with God through Christ. I will strengthen thee. And then there's an affirmation, yea, just in case we didn't hear it the first time, just in case we missed it. The Lord says, yea, I will help thee. I will help thee. Yea. Sometimes we're deaf, are we not? And just in case we didn't hear that one, the Lord affirms it again. The promises of God are in him. Yea and amen. He says, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee. Isn't that wonderful? That's all you need. My grace is enough. My grace is sufficient. As thy day is, so shall thy strength be. And now the Lord says, I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee. You get up in the morning and you don't know what you're going to face. We don't know what a day will bring forth, whether it brings good news or bad news. But we can face the day with this promise. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And the verse number 17. And now we have Paul's experience, his own testimony. He's come to Caesar. He appealed to Caesar against the Jewish Sanhedrin. And he's brought before Caesar. And when he stands at that tribunal, nobody stands with him. They've all forsaken him. Even the churches that he helped to found under God, they didn't stand with him. He says, verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be led to their charge, notwithstanding. In other words, in spite of what men and brethren and friends did, in spite of their failures, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Here's his testimony. Here's the experience of the promise fulfilled. And he's standing before Caesar. And he's in that Roman court. And he hasn't a friend around him. Nobody wants to be identified with Paul, the prisoner. Oh no, they didn't want to be identified with him. They all ran away. And Paul says, but there was somebody standing with me. The Lord. And the Lord strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And did you notice at the end of Philippians chapter 4, when he talks about the saints saluting the believers in Philippi, he adds this, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. And there's Paul standing in that court, not a friend around him, on his own. But the Lord stood with him. The Lord strengthened him. And in Caesar's imperial court, Paul bears testimony to the Lord Jesus. And there are people in Caesar's household, in Caesar's palace, in Caesar's family, who are brought to know the Lord Jesus as their own Savior. The Lord stood with them and the Lord strengthened them. There's the fulfillment of the promise. And he's able to write, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. There's an admission. I can't do it in my own strength. There's an assurance. But the Lord will enable me. And that assurance is based on the affirmation of God's promise given repeatedly throughout His Word. I will strengthen thee. What a great promise. What a great subject. What a great theme to encourage the hearts of God's people. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I wonder, can we sing